Upon a time, there was a cowboy who was pulling his trailer with a horse in it, his flatbed pickup. Dog was riding on the back, as they usually do in Mason. And he wasn't buckled up. He was paying attention to his cell phone as he was driving down the road, as many do in America, right? So he's driving and he misses a curve in the road. He goes off the road, flips his truck, flips the trailer. There's horse and dog and cowboy all over the place. Texas trooper comes up and he walks over to the horse. Being an animal lover, the horse is just beyond repair, in bad shape. So he takes his pistol out and puts it out of its misery. Walks over to the dog. The dog isn't any better. And puts it out of its misery. Walks over to the cowboy and asks the cowboy, "And how are you feeling?" The cowboy looks at the smoking gun and he says, "I never felt better in my life." There's four responses to the pandemic, to the economy the way it is, to the political situation that we're in, and the social upheaval. There's four responses. The first is careful. We're careful, right? We buckle our seatbelts. We take our medicines. We wear our masks. We wash our hands 100 times. My mother would be so proud of me that I wash my hands so often. Sometimes we get careless. Oh, I'm just going to go to the mail and pick it up. There's people in Mason that don't lock their doors to their homes or their vehicles. Just saying. The third response is fearful, and the fourth response is paranoid. And all of us have been on one of those four spectrums, right? Try not to be paranoid for too long, right? Try not to be fearful for too long. Careful. Not careless. Not careless at all. We got to be careful, right? The reason we got to be careful is that we're not snake handlers. You know, that's a judgment. Now, I'm not saying that snake handlers are going to hell. They're very faithful people, right? That's the way they worship, you know. But that's a judgment call. I judge sporting events, I judge bananas, I judge tires, right? I do judge, but I'm not sending them to hell. Snake handlers, we are not snake handlers that put the Lord to the test. We're not. Corinne Wright is a member of the church. I spoke with her this week. I'd have permission to share with her, you, what she shared with me. Corinne Wright is a dental hygienist at Dr. Ruthven's dental office here in Mason, Texas. She told me that through her many years of being a dental hygienist, she's been exposed to every disease. Every disease. Pick one. That one too. Ebola, AIDS, SARS. This one. She goes into people's mouths. So she's got to be what? Careful. She's got to be careful. What does she do? Well, she puts her gloves on. She puts her mask on. She puts her shield on. When you go into the office, she takes your temperature. Make sure that you don't have a fever. I was having a conversation with a person in Fredericksburg. And this person got a little bit miffed at me. All this thing with masks. What do you think about the mask? And I answered, You know, when a surgeon operates on me and the medical staff and everybody, I pray they're wearing masks. And I ask them, why do you think it's important to wear a mask? And they said, so the rest of, you know, their saliva doesn't get on. Well, exactly. Exactly. This isn't a political argument. We're not having a conversation about this. I'm not wearing a mask right now because I can't preach through it. And COVID cases here in Mason are pretty low, if zero, I think. We've got to be careful. We've got to be careful. Again, we're not snake handlers. We don't put the Lord to the test. We trust in the Lord. We believe that the Lord provides and protects for us, but we lock our doors. We buckle our seatbelts. We take our medication. We practice what we're supposed to. We do not put the Lord to the test. Because that's what the devil did when he, after Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days and nights. He tested and tempted Jesus. And he tested Jesus by taking him to a high point of a synagogue and said, jump, and the angels will pick you before your feet hit the stones. And, you know, the devil's quoting the scriptures. That's in the Bible. But it's a metaphor of explaining God's protection and provision in our life. And Jesus responds to the devil with what? You should not put the Lord your God to the test. And that's exactly what's going on in the scripture reading of Exodus that Miles read for us this morning. What's going on in this particular passage as we've been studying Exodus this whole, we've been doing it for the last month plus, is that what's going on in Exodus in this particular story is that the Israelites are riding pretty high. They're riding really high. They've been released from Egypt. They've crossed the Red Sea. Pharaoh's army's been destroyed. They were hungry, and God fed them manna in the morning and quail for supper. Mm-mm-mm. And they're now thirsty. They're in Rephidim, and they're wondering, we're thirsty. And they start complaining like they have before. They start complaining even more. And they said, you know, Moses, you brought us all the way to the wilderness to die. Us, our children, our livestock are dying of thirst. And they were getting ready to stone Moses. It's in the scriptures. They were getting ready to stone him. So Moses is telling God, says, God, I need some crowd control. You need to help me out here. And so God tells Moses to go and strike the rock with his staff, and water will come gushing out. And sure enough, that's exactly what happens. And that place is named Massah and Meribah for the complaining and the quarreling, the testing that took place on that place. Complaining, we do that to some degree, right? I have an old pickup. I went and got it, took it to get fixed, and I drove it, and then something else went on having to deal with the same situation, I complained about it. Sometimes we complain about certain things as a way of trying to discern an answer, right? We sometimes try to figure out a solution. But we don't want to complain all the time. I have one friend of mine who's a pastor, and all he does is complain. So whenever people see him coming around the corner, they kind of just break apart, you know? And, you know, and I like the guy. So I talked to him and I said, you know what? You only wear one suit. Can you change it up a little bit? Talk about the Spurs or something. You know, talk about the weather. You know, you like to cook, share a recipe, by gosh. Don't always complain. What's going on in the scriptures is that they were complaining to Moses and God about what was going on, and complaining is a backhanded way of saying that God is unfaithful. Testing God is a way of saying that God doesn't love us. And we know that God loves us. Amen? Amen. The park got real quiet. Scared me for a little bit. You know, y'all made more amens than they did. We need to be able to put our complaining to God aside, to put our quarreling amongst each other aside, because we can't go any further as a people who are called to be God's light, God's truth, the seasoning of the world. We're called to be salt and light and leaven in the world, to season the world with good things, to bring about hope and peace and love and joy to all people, that we may be a reflection of God's power and glory in the world at all times. And sometimes we get stuck in complaining and quarreling, and if we're not complaining to God, we're complaining to each other and quarreling with one another, and as the old adage goes, united we stand, divided we fall. And that's not who we are called to be as a people of faith. So there's two responses to that. There's two responses to complaining and testing and quarreling. First one comes from Colossians chapter 3, verses 13. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against each other, forgive each other just as the Lord has forgiven you. So you must also forgive. So what we ought to do is that if we have a complaint with one another, let's talk about it. Let's just talk about it. I've put three friendships on hold. Not for Mason. But I put three friendships on hold because these people want to argue about what's going on with America right now related to the pandemic, the politics, the economics, the social upheaval that we're in. And I don't always agree with them. But that's the only suit that they're wearing right now. It's the only suit that they're wearing on Facebook. It's the only emails I ever get from them. And when they call me, that's all they want to talk about and argue about. And I said, we're done until this is all over. Get your inoculations. Let the November 3rd get behind us, you know. And then let's see if we can burn some meat and have some barbecue, you know. Let's have some fellowship. We're done. God wants us to be together. And we should, especially as a people of faith. And the second thing is that we shouldn't gossip, because that's how the quarreling started there in the desert with the Israelites. I know that we've got to get the facts straight, right? But quarreling spreads faster than respiratory droplets at 6.5 feet, you know? You need to be careful about that. Need to be careful how we talk about other people, lest we be judged that way ourselves. And that's biblical. So, my friends, let us love one another. And I think one of the most ridiculous phrases in our world today is, I love you, because that's just purely emotional and head. Because true spiritual love is practiced by deeds of faithfulness and goodness and shows it. And we ought to love one another and show it to each other. as opposed to complaining, testing, and quarreling with God and with each other. Now, don't think that I'm just preaching to you Masonites because y'all are some of the sweetest people in the whole wide world. Y'all are. But the word needs to be heard. And we need to pay attention to that in the world in which we live. That is just so divided. In the name of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.